A reading from Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 45. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
I'll never forget the summer I spent in seminary as a chaplain at Bridgeport Hospital. I think my ears were still wet, just starting in my studies and my learning and preparing to be a pastor. It was part of my training, my first extended experience with the medical system and being present at times of death or of great suffering. I felt disoriented walking into the hospital, and if you've been in a hospital at any time in your lifetime, you might remember the first time being a place of real disorientation, not knowing how this whole community and system works. I wasn't sure that I could have any role in the healing or the work that was going on in a hospital like that. The unit where I was supposed to be responsible for spiritual care felt like a jungle of hallways, crowded with personnel, with patients, and what they called at those times cows, or computers on wheels. A tour of the emergency department there left me feeling woefully inadequate, knowing that at times I would be responsible for ministering to whatever happened in this gleaming antiseptic series of rooms. I walked through bustling units filled with confident hospital staff, knowing just exactly what they were going to do, and wondered what my place was amid all these professional healers. I didn't have power to order medicine or to set broken limbs. I didn't know anything about physiology or brain chemistry, so what was I doing there? Did my conversations with patients actually make a difference in their healing? Could fervent prayer that God would be present actually make a difference to God or change the outlook of the person I was praying with? I believed so. But I assumed that a real spiritual healer would look and act more like the Son of God. The Jesus we see in this morning's scripture is like the busiest physician ever. His day book was booked. Nights as well. He has back-to-back appointments all morning, afternoon, and evening and night. The next day, we hear he's up before dawn, planning to go on to the neighboring towns. We read that he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus' power to mend bodies, minds, and souls was so universally recognized that by the end of the text, we're told that he had to stay out of towns because all the people would flood out to gather and be near him. Surely that's what true healing authority looks like, right? That sort of impressive display. And how can any person living today live up to those kind of standards? Yet Alice Walker, the author of the Color Purple novel, writes that the most common way people give up their power is by thinking that they don't have any. This challenges my presumptions about spiritual powerlessness or the ineffectiveness of a greenhorn chaplain in a level one trauma hospital. And it addresses others here who might sit in awe at the stories of Jesus' miraculous healing and wonder how prayer or spiritual intervention now can make a difference. Medical insights have changed a great deal over the last 2,000 years so that we're no longer superstitious about leprosy being contagious as we see chemical imbalances in the brain as a more likely cause of suffering than literal spiritual possession. Unclean spirits today show up by different names and in more complex forms, alcoholism or addictions of other kinds, mental illness, crippling guilt or shame that weighs us down and harms our ability to act, memories of abuse. And those are within the private and personal realm. More publicly, our unclean spirits look like warmongering in the face of threat or neglect of the poor and the elderly or those who are homeless, paranoia in the face of others who are different, or willful and short-sighted disregard of the planet that God has given us to be our home. These are the unclean spirits that still show up threatening power to destroy life rather than live into God's abundance. And while the body of Christ in the world today uses different powers than Jesus to respond and heal, we are nevertheless called the body of Christ for times such as this. And we see within the miracles that we just heard one aspect of healing that we might offer to one another or use as we encounter the world to this day. The healing authority Jesus demonstrates is an ability to stay present, to stay connected, to be available to the suffering around him and those who would come out and be with him, offering the healing that comes with shared speech, shared community, and touch. When the leper we heard about comes to Jesus, he says, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Jesus does choose to make a different practice than the commonplace religious ritual of that day, which would have seen lepers as other, some community to be sent off by herself or himself. Lepers don't belong among good, faithful people. Yet Jesus chose not to keep his distance for fear of contamination by a leper's so-called uncleanness, but to touch and to intercede with this one who would have been left outside, breaking down the man's isolation and healing him. Those who are ill even to this day commonly say that the most damaging part of any sickness is less the harm of the body than the isolation that comes in the spirit, the loneliness or the feelings of unworthiness, being unable to fully participate in community life. I wonder if the same holds true for those other social ills, the broader unclean spirits we hear about, where we're taught in those sick ways to withdraw from community life, to pull back and hide ourselves out of fear of another, or to withdraw in helplessness or turn away, thinking we have nothing to offer. Who am I? Little old me. But Christ demonstrates a healing authority that leans in, that reaches across the fear that would separate and divide, taking responsibility himself for the connections that break down isolation, whether for the leper or for anyone else, and leads to healing of the spirit, even in times when cures are hard to be found. Today, the body of Christ, that might look like touching with consent those who believe they are untouchable, protecting those who are vulnerable, extending compassion and care to those who feel unlovable, or listening to those who are convinced that they don't matter. We're learning together about the deep causes of racism or militarism, or proclaiming peace with our voices, with our actions, in times that threaten of war. This is how prayerful and faithful community doesn't do exactly what Jesus did, but how the body of Christ nevertheless heals and intervenes to create community in times of isolation, healing through the body of Christ alongside medical interventions or public policy. These are the ways that we're called to act. In the face of what threatens to overwhelm us, long prayer lists, loved ones in need, devastating wildfires in Australia, more violence in the Middle East, and a fraying public life, perhaps the contemporary theologian we should listen to now is Anna in Frozen 2. Her longing song, after singing of the grief and numbness which she's inclined to feel, sings instead that all there is to do is the next right thing. I won't look too far ahead, she says, it's too much for me to take. But break it down to this next breath, this next step, this next choice is one that I can make. That about says it all. This next right choice. We have power through the one who calls us together at the beginning of this year, who feeds us at tables like this of sustaining grace. So let our next right thing be to sing God's invitation, come my way, my truth, my light. To pray in openness for God's Spirit, to receive food for our spirits at a table like this, to offer healing support to one another and be encouraged by the promise that we are not alone. The body of Christ is here with one another, for one another, and for the world. So that when worship has ended and our service continues beyond these walls, we may have the strength for the healing and mending that God would ask for us next. May it be so. Amen. Thank you.